All right, Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 3. And so there's not many verses there, but our message theme today is biblical faith. The question would be, what is biblical faith? What is real faith? What is true faith? Because the Bible shows us what is real faith, and the Bible also shows us a false faith, or a false believing, or a believing that is not a part of real salvation. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 1, 2, and 3, let's read it. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." All right, now this passage is not starting a new chapter, so to speak. It's not a new thought or a new idea. It's actually continuing from the previous chapter. In chapter 10, verse 38, it says, it's quoting the Old Testament, and it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." I want you to see that connection before we go on, because in chapter 10, where he was talking about despising Christ by wanting to go back under the law, being bound back under the law, and then he's talking how a person is just, or how a person can be just. In verse 38, "The just shall live by faith." And then he says, "But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition." So if you look at it, who is just? Well, in God's eyes, the person is just whom he declares to be just. In God's eyes, the person is just who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have faith, and we have to be justified. Let's put that on one side as a picture, to be just. But then he says in verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." Or in other words, we're not of them who don't have true faith, and then we fall away from God, and we go into sin, into a rejection of Christ, to die in our sin and go to hell. So he's putting them on two different sides. We have the just shall live by faith, and we have the ones who draw back to perdition. The one who sees a lot of the truth of Jesus and he says, "I don't want that. I'll rather make my own way by following the law." So we have faith here and we have works here. We have faith here and we have a drawing back here. Because that's what Hebrews is about. It's about apostasy. It's about persevering in our faith, or about apostasy, where you have made a profession of faith, but then you draw back. You say, "I don't believe it anymore," or you say, "I will now add the law to it," or I will do it differently. I will find my own way to God. I don't need Jesus anymore. That means you draw back. You have professed it before. Now you don't anymore. You draw back unto perdition. Perdition is also the word that was used for Judas. Judas, a son of perdition. He was destined to, he betrayed Jesus, and he was destined to betray Jesus. He was the one who was chosen for that, we could say, in a sense. Because from the Old Testament, it was said that one of the 12 would turn his back on Jesus. And that was Judas. Not because God said, "I'm going to put a wall here so you can't cross over," for Judas. No. All of us have such a wall. It would be as if we have this wall here and faith is on that side, and we have to get through without touching or moving or hurting, breaking the wall, and we have to get through the wall. We can't. That's our natural state in sin. We can't get to the other side. We can't get to faith. So God in His mercy, when we're saved, God in His, by grace, in His mercy, picks us up and takes us to where we need to be so that we can believe. We don't believe in our flesh. We cannot believe in our flesh. So that is the picture that he's putting here when he says, the just shall live by faith, and we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. There are two different sides. The one who claims to have faith but then turns away is actually the one who turns back to perdition, is actually the one who never had faith. Because it's the one who perseveres, it's the one who keeps on believing to the end who is actually saved, who was saved and who is saved, the one who perseveres. Hebrews 3 talks about that. Hebrews 3 says, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Who is a partaker of Christ? The one who holds the confidence that he has in Christ unto the end. That is the one who has been made a partaker of Christ. That is the one who believes, has truly believed in Christ. So that is what we're looking at. While he's saying that the just shall live by faith, in chapter 10, verse 38, and that there are those who would draw back to perdition, then in chapter 11, he goes into a long speech about what is faith. And so we'll look at the different examples of faith yet more in the coming weeks, Lord willing. But today, I want to do an overview of what is faith. We have some of that, we could say, right in this chapter. What is the overview of faith? But I will also go to other scriptures to see what is faith. Now, look in verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is. It's telling us what faith is. It's giving us a definition of faith. It's telling us what faith means, right here in verse 1. Now faith is, what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that sounds impossible, and that's because it is. Faith is not a fleshly thing. Faith is a supernatural thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a gift from God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, to again use this wall as an example, if you have faith in Christ, that means you have a belief but also a knowing that Christ has died for your sins and He has accepted you. Can you try to believe that hard enough so that you'll believe it? Think back to your days, your life of unbelief, before you were a believer. Could you believe with all your heart that Christ died for your sins and that you are secure in Him, that you will go to be with Him? You had 100% peace in your heart that you will go to be with Him. I never had that. There was all these things of, now's a new week, now's a new month, now we've had some evangelistic services, now is a new year, now I'll try to be a better person. I never had a peace. We'll keep trying to be a better person. We'll keep trying to be a good person. From now on, I'll try to be a good person. There's no peace. There's no peace because that is earthly and fleshly. We try to believe something. We try to declare something that this is what I believe. But it doesn't give us peace. So that faith, that believing is like it's on the other side of the wall and there's no way we can take it unless God in His grace allows us. God in His grace opens our eyes to see His glory, to see His wonders, to see Christ in His beauty, that He died on the cross, He rose again for my sin. And I just believe it, and I'm saved, and I have peace, and I know I'll go to be with Him. That's by God's grace, not by works, not by my own trying, but by grace through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We can hope to go to heaven. We can hope Christ died for us. But faith is the substance of that. Substance means it's the actual thing. You can draw a picture of a rock here, but that's not the actual rock. You can try believing it's a rock, but that doesn't change it. Now, when someone brings a rock from outside and you hold it and you say, here, now I have the true rock. Well, faith is the substance. It's the actual thing. It's like holding that rock in your hand and saying, Jesus is my rock and I know it. I have it. I hold it. I own it. He is it to me. That is what faith is. The substance. That's why earlier I said, how is that possible that we can have the substance? It's a supernatural thing. It's not natural. It's not earthly. It's not fleshly that we can know it. That's why there are some people, when you say that, I know I'm going to be with Christ when I die, they will look at you like, who do you think you are that you know it? How can you know it? We'll all find out one day. No, I know it. He saved me. Supernaturally, He gave me faith to believe it. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Now, I'm not copying that from, what's this guy's name, Seth on the internet, who has a show, it's supernatural. He has that show about miracles that he claims he does and other people do. That's not what I'm talking about. What he's saying is actually earthly things that tickle people's ears. This is a spiritual thing that God has to open your eyes to see. Faith is the substance, the actual thing of the thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we say there's a sun up in the sky, and we have evidence. There's light outside. But faith is evidence of things not seen. We can't see that type of evidence to know that we'll be in heaven. But we have the evidence. How? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Who is that evidence? Evidence that is a fact. It is a provable fact that we will go to be with Him. But we have that internally. I can't prove it to you and you can't prove it to me. But God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, we will go to be with Him. That is faith. And then it goes on in this chapter, talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. And we think about what was their faith. Well, Abraham and Sarah was too old to have children. And at the first, when she heard that she would have a child, she laughed. She didn't believe it. But now she's mentioned here in Hebrews 11, and it says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. First Sarah laughed, but then she believed. A thing that was naturally impossible, and she already believed it. That is faith. So that is an example of faith. Abraham, after he already had a child, and God said, go and offer him up, kill him, kill your child, he was willing to do it because he knew God could raise him from the dead. He had faith to believe and to know that God could raise him from the dead. That is faith. That is not natural, something that you can convince yourself to believe. That's impossible. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 also says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That again is a definition of faith. Walking by faith, not by sight. If we just walk by what we can see, we will never come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have to have faith in order to be saved. Romans 5 verse 1 says that we are justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can try to live your life and make your life hard and Hopefully God will accept you, but He won't. Justification is not by the works of the law. Now, some of what I've said about faith is also misused by false teachers in this world today and by false teachers around us who will say things like, well, Romans 10 verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So they will say, well, you just, once you say it with the mouth, then you're saved. Some will say that if you just mention with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you just say it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're automatically saved and there's nothing that will happen or that you'll do that you'll not be saved anymore. Saying that alone doesn't save you. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You gotta be willing to confess it. You gotta be willing to make it public. That's why baptism is a public thing. You gotta be willing to be baptized. So this is a false definition of faith. They will say you just speak it, basically speak it into existence. And they will also use a verse like Proverbs 18 verse 21 that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So they will say that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So whatever you say, you can give yourself health. You can give yourself life by saying something. They will say that's what faith is. If you look at Proverbs, in principle, it is talking about a blessing and a curse. It is talking about encouraging someone or discouraging someone. It is talking not about killing someone with your words. People who use this verse will say that's in the power of your tongue, and yet they will say that it doesn't really mean that you can kill someone, but it does mean that you can kill someone. So they will say both at the same time. But that is illogical and that is out of its context. That's not what Proverbs 18 is talking about. You don't have power to create anything. You can't by saying something bring something into existence. You can't by saying something make something happen. Only God can do that. We are not God. He is. There is one God. We are not. Faith is a gift. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Some people read this and say, by grace are you saved, not of yourselves, but the faith is of yourself. That's what they say. Well, it says, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. You don't have a faith in your flesh. You don't have a faith that you can bring up one day and say, oh, now my flesh says, yeah, I want to believe. The only thing your flesh says might say that my flesh said is, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll do whatever you tell me to do. You tell me I can't do this, or else I'll go to hell. Okay, I'll stop doing it, and then I'll go to heaven. That is not faith. Faith is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in Him. Faith is the substance. It is to have that real thing in your heart and to know that it is true. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is God's Spirit bearing witness, giving you the proof in your heart that you are His. Faith is a gift. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come from your flesh. Faith comes by hearing. When the Word of God comes, God works faith. That's why I like the song that we sang today, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And it says, God, and in the same song, speaks about God creating faith in us. God is the one who creates that faith. It says actually in Hebrews 12, the next chapter, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When you have a picture that someone drew, You will find probably a little name on there that says who drew the picture. That is the author. Or you have a book and there's a name on it. Who wrote the book? That's the author. Well, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith. The author, He created our faith. And the finisher of our faith. He is the one who will bring it to completion. He is the one who will bring it to the end. Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. That's why faith is a gift. We also see that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. It's a fruit. It's a fruit. Faith works by love. Galatians 5 or 6 says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our works and our things that we do on this earth, we shave our hair a certain way or we dress a certain way, that doesn't bring us salvation. We get circumcised or not circumcised, or we eat meat or don't eat meat. That doesn't bring us salvation. But in Christ, that which matters is faith, which works by love. What that means is, Christ loved us, so we love Him back, and so we work for Him out of love. Like Ephesians 2 says that, Ephesians 2 verse 10, that there are good works which God has prepared for us to walk in. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Faith is a gift. Also, the testing of faith, some people think that that could make you to fall away. You get tempted, you get tested, that'll make you fall away. In James 1, it actually says that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We sometimes feel like if we're constantly tempted to sin, that means God is not with us, or that means that we're doing something wrong, or that means God has forgotten about us. James 1 actually says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It doesn't say the trying of your faith might make you fall away. It says the trying of your faith worketh patience. When your faith is being tested. You know another thing you see here? When you're tempted, it is by faith that you overcome those temptations. When you're tempted to sin and you turn to Christ, you trust Him, that is faith, and He will help you to overcome. I've experienced it many times in my life. When I'm tempted and I look to Christ, and He will, later I'll remember that I totally forgot about the temptation that I was tempted to do. That is faith in Christ. So when we're tempted, and we're tempted in many different ways, it says we should count it all joy because we know that the trying of our faith works patience. When we're tempted, that is trying our faith. Like the devil tempted Jesus, even though we wouldn't say that Jesus had or needed faith because He is God, but that was a picture of temptation. He was tempted like as we are. He was pained as we are. The temptations felt like we feel when we are tempted, and yet He overcame. How? By quoting the Word of God, by using the truth of God. And that is how we can overcome temptations, by trusting in the Lord, not in our own trying. Ephesians 6:16 actually says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What are the fiery darts of the wicked? Well, they're exactly that, temptations. He wants to tempt you. Satan wants to tempt you and to destroy you, that you would turn around and walk away from God, or turn around and become ineffective for God. Well, The solution is take up the shield of faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes you see a picture of a shield and a strong man behind a shield because he has that faith with him. A strong shield, and he looked like a mighty warrior. Now, I like to picture this more like a little shabby person who hardly has any clothes to wear and is hardly anything else than bones that you can see. He doesn't have much flesh. He is thin. He is skinny. And then he has a massive shield that is protecting him from the lion and from the enemies that will come. That is what it is. We are miserable and weak human beings without Christ. But with him, we are strong. Like Paul said, that when I am weak, then I am strong because of Christ in him. Not because of himself, but because of Christ in him. So the testing of our faith works patience. And that is a good thing. It is good when we learn patience. In James 2, we actually have another example of real faith and false faith. In James 2 verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can that faith save him? If someone says he have faith but he does not have works, well, it's not a real faith. It says that in this chapter later. Faith without works is dead. Verse 24 says, you see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone, not by faith only. Meaning, if you say you have faith, but you have no fruit of the Spirit, you have no works that a Christian would have, that means your faith is fake. That means your faith is false. It's not true. Every believer has faith. Sometimes there's a tendency in some circles to constantly make it our own work. Oh, I think you lack faith. I think you need some more faith too, so that you can overcome the devil. Well, if you're a believer, you have faith. To believe is to have faith. That goes together. Romans 12 verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This is not talking about unbelievers. This is talking about believers. Every believer has a measure of faith. Some have more, some have less. But the Bible says that even those with faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can already move mountains. Faith is God working in you. When you have faith in God, it is God's strength that works through you, in you and through you. Every believer has faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And not everyone has faith. Like I just said, every believer has faith. And some people will use Romans 12 verse 3 and say that everyone has faith, even the unbelievers. They just need to put it into use. They need to activate it. Well, there's actually many verses in Scripture that show and that teach that not everyone has faith. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2 actually outright says it, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, or not all men have faith. In Hebrews 4 verse 2 it says, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We already read earlier that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means that if the word of God comes to you, then you will automatically believe, right? No. It is not only the word of God. It is, like Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, it needs to be mixed with faith, and God is the one who does that. When the word of God comes, and it actually gives you faith to believe, that is God granting that to you. In Hebrews 4, where the writer of Hebrews talks about we who have faith and those who don't have faith, He is saying they heard the gospel preached and we heard the gospel preached, but they were not affected by it because faith was not mixed with the word. Faith did not come along with the word for them. So again, it makes sense that salvation is by grace through faith. God is the one who has to grant faith. Otherwise, no one can or will believe. Romans 10 verse 16 says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Not everyone who hears the gospel actually believes it. It's not a new thing, but to look at what faith is, we want to look at all those different aspects. Some people will say that, well, faith is something that is just between you and God. Well, Romans 14 says, verse 22, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Some will use that idea and say, you just gotta shut up about your faith and just, it's between you and God. You go to heaven? Well, good for you. Someone else doesn't go? Well, bad for them. But keep your faith between yourself and God. Well, Romans 14 is not about not sharing your faith. Romans 14 is not about, well, I found something good, but I don't want to share it with anyone else. No, Romans 14, where it says, have faith to yourself, is talking in the context of making your brother stumble. You think, and it uses that example, and it says, you think you can eat meat, but your brother doesn't think so. You don't have to bring it up that, well, I have faith, so I can eat meat. And if you can't eat meat, well, you don't have faith. No, it says, have your faith to yourself. Again, the idea is that if you do things that are not in faith, then it is sin. Then it is wrong. If you eat meat just because your brother thinks it's okay, then you don't do it in faith. If you want to convince your brother to do something just because you do it, then you're trying to convince them to do something that is not in faith. And you shouldn't do that. Because if they do something that they don't believe in, then it's sin. So faith is the substance. It is the actuality. Having that, which we could say could only be believed, but we have that evidence in our heart that it is the truth. There's also faith to believe something. Like, for example, in Mark 11 verse 22, Jesus was speaking to some people and he said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So for the believer, when you pray and you believe that this will come to pass, you will receive it. Jesus says in Mark 11. This is again important to understand what true faith is. It's not us trying to convince ourselves that this will come to pass. But it is God putting it in our heart that this will come to pass and therefore we believe it. We believe it because God has put it on our heart that this is what He wants to do, or this is what He will do. And so we pray believing because God has put it on our heart. Not because we try to make ourselves believe it, but because God has made it so clear to us that we believe it. In Matthew 17, Jesus said, again, He said it was because of their unbelief. And He said again, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So, some people would take these verses and go out and say that, well, there's a mountain and I don't like that it's there. So, in faith, by the name of Jesus, be removed and go into the sea. I don't like you here, mountain. Or big tree that is not bearing fruit. I don't want you here anymore. Get lost. Get removed. And they will use the name of Jesus wrongly, almost like blasphemy. In the name of Jesus, do this and this and this. You've got to be very careful about doing that, because I think that is borderline blasphemy. Because you can try to convince yourself about something, but why do you think God wants that tree removed? Why do you think God wants that mountain removed? Is it something that He is doing a work where you know that God wants this to be done so that you can do a work, that you can do a ministry for Him? Is that what it is? Well, then God will put it on your heart that He will do this, and you will pray believing. You will not pray convincing yourself. You will pray believing, because God has put it on your heart that this is what He will do. And so then we can pray believing, not convincing ourselves, but God having made it clear in our heart. So what is faith? What is biblical faith? It is the evidence. It is knowing that this will come to pass, knowing that God will do something because He has put it in our heart that we know it. First of all, it is knowing that Jesus has died for our sins. And then in our Christian life, it can come up in different places and in different ways. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You just again for Your word. We pray You will bless it. We pray You would speak to us. We pray that You would work in us today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.